ても
Good morning, church. Welcome and thank you for joining us for this beautiful day of worship. It's great to be back in our sanctuary. It's great to see so many friendly faces. It's also great to still be connected with all our friends on Zoom and Facebook Live. Again, we want to apologize for any technical difficulties we had last week, but we're hoping that we've resolved most of them. And like any of these technological processes that we've gone through these last year, there's always going to be some learning curves for all of us. A few announcements before we get started. Please remember, we're not passing out a bulletin as we have done for the past year, but if you want to follow along with the order of worship, please follow along on the screen, or you can go to scmchurch.org, or you can go to our This Week in Worship email and see the bulletin there. Once again, we want to thank you all for following our COVID protocols. Everybody has done such a great job with their mask and social distancing. It really does go a long way into making sure that we have some safe worship space. Also, don't forget this Wednesday we continue our Lenten journey in our study, the Easter experience. We've already done 3 really powerful weeks and we have 2 more weeks to go. So if you're interested in joining that, that is from 7 to 8 Wednesday night on the same Zoom site we use for the church. So it's easy to connect to, easy to be a part of, and it really has been a great study with Moravians all across the county. Please note the elders will meet tomorrow night on Zoom. And then I wanted to share with some of you our Holy Week plans as we get closer to that. As we spring forward today, it reminds us that Easter is right around the corner, and believe it or not, we're already halfway through the season of Lent. So this week, in person, we will not be doing any Holy Week readings, but we'll look to connect to provincial opportunities to do that this year. Our Maundy Thursday and our Good Friday worship will remain on Zoom, a great opportunity to celebrate communion and to look at the crucifixion of Jesus and the power of that moment. And then Saturday, we're pleased to announce we will have our outdoor Easter egg hunt for the kids. CEC is meeting on Tuesday night, so we'll get out that information for you as soon as we can. But we're looking forward to being able to do that this year and to have an outside opportunity for our kids to celebrate the Easter season. And then it also gives me great joy to share with you that we will be able to worship at Shenrun Village this year at 7 a.m. for our traditional sunrise service. We are asking people, please wear masks to that service. And also, any musicians or brass that are interested in being a part of that should contact Randy Gibbs, the musical director at Dover. And we will have Easter worship here at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and overflow will be available in the fellowship hall as well. And Tuesday, CEC will be meeting on Zoom at 7 p.m. as well. These are our announcements this morning. Let us please stand and greet. I was going to say greet. Let us stand and pass the right wave of fellowship. Good morning.
is very humbling.
You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Amen. This time we will pray together the Lent 1 liturgy. It will be Becky and I speaking on behalf of the congregation. Becky will be the lead speaker, and I will speak on behalf of the congregational part. We will ask you to still stand and sit as you would in a normal liturgy, and we will also be omitting the hymns as well. So let us now pray together the liturgy of Lent.
Lord God, our Father in heaven, you have shown your great love toward us by sending your Son into the world to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We give you thanks because you have made us worthy to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, having rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your beloved Son,
in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Lord God's Son, the Savior of the world, though you were in the form of God, you did not consider equality with God something to cling to, but emptied yourself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. You humbled yourself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Your love compels us to live not for ourselves, but for you.
We give you thanks because you, our merciful and faithful High Priest, have made reconciliation for the sins of the people. You were despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You were wounded for our transgressions, and you were bruised for our iniquities.
Upon you fell the punishment that made us whole, and by your wounds we are healed.
Lord God, Holy Spirit, one with the Father and the Son, We give you thanks because you descended upon the Christ, anointing him to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the time of the Lord's favor.
You fill our hearts with the love of God and make our bodies your holy temple.
From the sin of unbelief, from all defilement of the body and spirit, from all self-righteousness, from every neglect of our duty, from ingratitude and selfishness, from lukewarmness, from all indifference to your meritorious life and death.
Deliver us, gracious Lord and God.
By your holy incarnation and birth, by your early exile, by your pure and blameless childhood, by your willing obedience, by your humility, meekness, and patience, by your faithfulness in your earthly calling, by your fasting and temptation, by your perfect life before God and humanity.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God.
By your tears and agony, your crown of thorns and cross.
Lead us to repentance for our sins.
By your willing sacrifice of yourself, even unto death.
Make known to us the mystery of your love.
Into your open arms stretched out upon the cross.
Receive us all.
By all your sacred wounds and precious blood, by your innocent suffering and dying, by your rest in the grave, by your glorious resurrection and ascension.
Bless us and save us, Christ Jesus our Redeemer.
Fulfill in us your prayer that all who love you may be one, as you are in the Father and the Father in you.
Hear us and help us, gracious Savior.
You have made God known to us as Father, so that the love with which he has loved you may be in us.
And you in us.
Christ and him crucified.
Remains our confession of faith. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And the scripture lesson comes from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God.
Thank you, Jacob. We turn now our attentions and our prayers to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. And we give thanks especially as we listen to that iconic passage from John 3:14. It seems fitting on the Sunday we spring forward that we talk about the gaining of life and how much that impacts our lives. Just thinking about one extra hour of light. Well, imagine the power of accepting Christ and how much light that can welcome into our world. In our prayers this week, we remember the family of Gavin Carlisle, who passed away last Friday in a shooting in New Philadelphia. We pray for him, we pray for his young daughter, we pray for his family as well, and we pray for our community who continues to mourn and continues to grieve the loss of a young man. In our battle against COVID-19, it was crazy looking back on my Facebook feed yesterday, and 1 year ago I had the memory that we had decided to cancel worship or cancel in-person worship for the first time and go virtual. And it seems crazy to think about, but that was 1 year ago. And it seems like it's been such a long battle, but I remember when this pandemic started, how we hoped in 18 months we would have our first vaccine present. And here we sit 12 months later with 3 vaccines going out across the world. The CDC set a record with 4 million people being vaccinated alone yesterday. So we have a lot to celebrate. I know it's been a struggle. I know it's been a battle for so many people, and that battle continues. But there is light. There is hope on the horizon, and we can feel it, especially this Easter season. We know that nothing is beyond the redemption of God's powerful presence in our lives and in our world. And then I also want to offer prayers up for Willie Gardner, who's been going through a tough health week and will be in a rehabilitation place over these next couple of weeks. Willie is Linda Karcher's father, Angie's grandfather, so we continue to uplift him in prayer. And then I also ask those of you thinking about prayers, think of our prayer chain this week. Those of you that are online, you're welcome to check that out at this time. We'll actually have it on the screen for you, for those of you who are in worship. But continue to uplift those people in prayers and think about ways that we can continue to reach out and be prayerful for one another. So let us take some time in silence and reflect on the prayers that we are about to uplift to God.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stay so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hard. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we come together today as the body of Christ. Those of us in our sanctuary, those of us in our living rooms right now, those of us across the world. We are your body called to serve you. And right now we feel your light shining in this room and shining in our lives. And we just want to say thank you today, because today is a reminder of that John 3:16 reminder that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And every single day we can give thanks for that and live in gratitude for the wonderful gift we have been given. Gracious God, we uplift to you many prayers today. prayers for the sick, prayers for those who are undergoing surgery, prayers for those who are dealing with serious removals of brain tumors, families that are grieving, families that are in need of hope. Help each and every person feel closer and connected with you in this time of prayer. And gracious God, today is a day to look back, a look at where our world was a year ago, with so much fear, anxiety, and angst is present in our world, and we realize those feelings have not gone away, but we have seen you work through them and do wonderful things in our world regardless. So when it seems like our world hasn't gone very far at all, help us to remember that you have exceeded expectations. You have slowly brought in the healing process into our nation and our world, and we can truly breathe hope. So help us continue to be the children of the light, the children of the hope, because we realize that in a battle as long as this, it's easy to be exhausted, it's easy to lose sight of the light, but sometimes we need to look up and just feel the presence of God in our lives. So help each of us feel that presence, breathe it in, and share it every chance we can. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn our time and our attention to our offering. Once again, we do not pass out an offering plate during COVID, but we do encourage people to continue their online giving, and if they would like to drop something in the offering plate as they leave, you may do that as well. And we just want to continue to say thank you, because the stewardship of the church has existed far beyond our own walls. And it really touches my heart to see that churches continue to survive this pandemic, because of the gratitude and gifts of so many people. So as we remember this time of offering, I ask you to please stand as we join together to listen in the offertory.
Pray. Gracious Savior, as we continue on our Lenten journey, help us to see the world through your compassionate giving. May our hearts be filled more by what we can give instead of what can be given to us. Amen. Please be seated.
At this time, I invite our children to stay seated, but I'll ask them to pull out their whiteboard. I'm going to give them an opportunity to respond to some questions. So what we're going to talk about today, as we continue our sermon series this week on hope, we're going to talk about how God provides hope to people who are undergoing disabilities or difficult circumstances or difficult challenges in their lives. And one of the things I want to teach you about that's very important that I think as you grow up is something that's called reframing, which is a very adult word, but it reminds us that sometimes when we see somebody going through a hardship or somebody has a challenge in their life, we have to look at things from a different viewpoint. Because normally we look at things from down there, but sometimes we have to raise our eye level. We have to look at something at the way God sees it. And sometimes we look at a person's disability or their challenge, and we only see the negative stuff. But there can be a lot of powerful stuff that equips people in some of their challenges. So we're going to go through how God can work in some of those specific cases. So I'm going to talk about four different friends that I have. And I'm going to describe some of those things, some of those words you may recognize, some of those words you may not recognize. But I'm going to describe some of these friends. And after I describe them, I'm going to ask you to pick a letter of which friend would be the best superhero to help me in that situation. Which friend would be the best one to help me if I got in trouble? So we're going to talk about somebody who is blind. I have a friend who is blind. And when you think of blindness, usually we tend to think of people who have a cane and a dog, and we think about how hard it is not to see things.
But it turns out blind people can also be incredibly musically talented. Their hearing can be much improved from the disability they have. I had a Sunday school teacher in third grade who was blind, and I swore that woman, as soon as I reached for gum in my pocket that I wasn't supposed to have, she could hear the sound of that, and before it reached my mouth, I was already in trouble. She had that good of a musical ear. I mean, she could hear everything, so very gifted. And then I have a friend who has dyslexia. Have any of you heard of that term before? Raise your hand if you know what dyslexia is. Okay, yeah, absolutely, adults too. So dyslexia is processing disability where you can't necessarily see all the words right in a word. Like you can look at a word and it might look upside down or not exactly how it's supposed to be, and you struggle with putting words together. So it can take you up to 4 hours to read a homework assignment. But guess what? People with dyslexia are very creative. And guess what? They're incredibly resilient. And in fact, some of our greatest CEOs in our country have dyslexia because they would start businesses, the businesses would fail, and then they would start a new business because they weren't afraid of failure because they dealt with it as a kid, just learning how to read. So there are people with dyslexia who are quick with hearing loss. And when we look at deaf people, all we assume is the fact that they can't communicate as well as other people. They can't hear as well, they can't hear music and things like that. But guess what? Deafness teaches you to pay attention to things, to look at things, to read people. I can read nonverbal cues a little bit better than other people. In baseball, I was always the guy that could steal the signals of the other team, and I could let the pitcher know what pitch was coming because I was used to having to communicate with my hands. And then D is a friend who has a wheelchair. And you might know somebody in your school who has a wheelchair or something like that, and it's easy to look at what they can't do as far as sports and things like that. But some of the best Paralympians are people, or Special Olympians as well, are people who've been in wheelchairs. Because they're strong, very strong, all day. They spend lifting their wheelchair. I work out an hour a day. These people work out 16 hours a day. When they're not sleeping, they're getting strong. They're becoming better and stronger people. So now you've got those four different people. Now I'm going to give you four different scenarios, and I want you to tell me if you should pick A, the friend who is blind, B, a friend who has dyslexia, C, a friend who is deaf, or D, a friend in a wheelchair. So we're going to start with this scenario. So it is December 18th, and it's a Sunday, and you see your parents talking in the fellowship hall a couple rooms away, and you can tell they're talking about what your Christmas presents are going to be. Ooh. And guess what? You can hear them moving their lips, or you can see them moving their lips, but you can't hear a sound. So who's going to be the superhero who's going to help you figure out what you're going to get for Christmas? Which of these friends? Anybody got a guess? Nick, you got a guess? Let's see. Aubrey, Rylan, let me see it. Tyler, what's your guess? Write it. Show me. You got A, friend who is blind, they could help you. Actually, it would be your deaf friend. It would be your friend. It would be number C. Number C. Letter C. Oh, my goodness. Spring forward much. Because people are really good at reading lips. So around December 18th, I was always a very popular kid in my class because I could help my friends when their parents were discussing things they didn't want them to talk about. So this is another difficult one. You need somebody who can help you put together the missing pieces of the most difficult jigsaw puzzle you've ever had. So you need somebody who has experience putting difficult things together and trying to piece them together. Which one would you guess? A is a friend who is blind, B is a friend who has dyslexia, C is a friend who is deaf, or D? Aubrey's got it. B, a friend who has dyslexia. They are awesome at putting puzzles together and helping you solve things. Reese has got it too. I love it. All right. Number three. Anybody in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts? Has anybody done that before? Reese has got me covered right there. Awesome. So you want to get one of your Scout badges. And you want really badly, a very difficult Scout badge to get is a badge for bird watching. And for bird watching, what you have to do to be a good bird watcher is you have to recognize the sounds of what the birds say and be able to understand, oh, that's what a robin sounds like. That's what a blue jay sounds like. So you need somebody with a really good musical ear, somebody who could hear maybe a little bit better than the normal person. So who would you ask? Your blind friend, your dyslexic friend, your deaf friend, or your friend in a wheelchair? Nick's got it. Hey, I see it. You would ask your blind friend because they have a very musical ear. And your last one is a difficult one. Let's say you are the... Do I have any people who love pickles here? Oh, Reese is all about pickles. I'm going to bring you a jar of pickles. So my grandmother used to make these delicious pickles, and she would can them in these mason jars, and you would wait all summer to be able to eat these pickles. But there was only one problem. When I was 7, I was incredibly weak. I could not get these mason jars open no matter how hard I tried. So I got to call one of my friends who has a ton of upper body strength who could help me open these pickles. Who would that person be? Let's see. Dee, Aubrey's got it right. Yeah, my friend in a wheelchair, because he is so strong. He uses his arms all day. And what I hope that you see, Reese has got it right. Yep. What I hope that you see today, as we talked about all of our different friends, friends who have blindness, friends who have deafness, friends who have dyslexia, and friends who are in wheelchairs, is that you see that that person doesn't just have a disability, but they have gifts as well in their lives. And every single person is like that. Something you may see as a hardship in your life very well may be a gift in a different area. So that's why it's important that we love everybody, that we take care of everyone, and that we don't always see the gifts that God has given us in front of it. And when you're struggling to have self-esteem or feel good about yourself, just change your point of view and look at your life from the way God sees you, because God can see those good things in your life far more than we can see them. Let's have a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you for these kids. Thank you for making them friends to all people and all creation, and help them to see that no matter what hardships or disabilities they face in their life, you, God, will equip them, guide them, and lead them. Because we know that you are a God who sees us as our best self, a self that can serve you in all times and all places. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, kids. So let us turn our hearts and our minds to our message today. And our message, as we continue our sermon series, continues on finding hope in our disabilities and our challenges. And as I start this message today, I want to share with you a wonderful parable that I heard on Facebook and YouTube, and it is the story of the one-armed judo champion. And in this story, it begins with a young boy. And this young boy was born without his left arm, and he was sent to judo lessons by his mother to build his self-esteem. And every practice this boy went to, his teacher taught the boy one throw and asked him to practice it over and over again. And the one-armed boy would get so upset because he would see the master teaching the other students more advanced and difficult moves. And the one-armed boy would beg the master, "Please teach me another move." And the master always replied, "No. Just keep practicing and perfecting that one move you know." So several months later, the boy entered a state tournament with the most skilled judo champions of his age. And the boy was terrified that he was going to be embarrassed by much more skilled and talented opponents. And his first match began, he was incredibly nervous, but to the shock of everyone at the tournament, the boy slammed his first opponent to the ground. Then he slammed the second one to the ground, the third one, and the fourth one. And he finally had made it to the championship, where he was going to face a three-time champion who had never been defeated in his life. He was raised in judo by parents and grandparents. He was a third-generation champion. And the organizers of the tournament wanted to protect this little one-armed boy and cancel the final match and let the boy leave the tournament with his head held high. But the teacher refused to let this happen, and he made sure the next match proceeded. And what happened next was, within seconds of the match starting, the boy aggressively ran at the champion and threw him to the mat with his one strong right arm. And the crowd went nuts for the new one-armed judo champion. The boy's mother and father were in tears at that moment. And on the drive home, after the emotions had settled and the boy realized that he was finally a champion, he asked his teacher if he or his mother had arranged his opponents to take it easy on him. After all, the people he faced knew hundreds of moves, and this little boy just knew one. And the teacher looked at the little one-armed boy and replied, "No, my son, you won these matches for two reasons. Number one, you practiced the most devastating judo throw there is. And second of all, the only way to defend that throw is to grab the left arm of your opponent." Nobody could stop him because he didn't have a left arm to be stopped. That's how our one-armed judo champion became a champion. And I love this parable because I think it's talking similar to what Paul is talking about today. Sometimes what we perceive as weaknesses are the source of our very strength in life. And the Apostle Paul said this in his letter to the Corinthians. He wrote in verses 7 to 9, "Therefore, to keep me from being elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." To keep me from being too elated. "Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that this would leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.' So I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And scholars have debated this term, thorn in the flesh, for thousands of years. What did Paul mean exactly by that? Was he talking about persecution that he faced as a disciple of Christ? Was he talking about the persecution he faced because he was a persecutor before becoming a disciple of Christ? Or perhaps it was something different, a physical ailment that Paul suffered from, like Mediterranean fever, migraine headaches. Or perhaps there was something in his physical appearance that caused him pain, embarrassment, or shame. And we studied this for thousands of years, but no one has come up with the perfect answer. No one knows for sure what Paul suffered from. But it is clear that Paul did suffer from something. And some of you may know the heavy burden of a physical or emotional disability, and some of you may not. However, suffering is a universal human experience. From the day we are born to the day we are welcomed home to our heavenly home, all of us know what it is like to suffer through something. And in our scripture today, Paul offers a coping mechanism for suffering other than the expectation from society to compartmentalize our suffering and stick it in a drawer so not to bother other people with our suffering. In American culture, that's kind of how we do things. The expectation is that we should be our happiest and most joyful self all the time. And if we aren't, we're doing something wrong. But it's Paul that reminds us that it's okay to endure hardship. It's okay to struggle. Because God will reutilize our suffering to help others. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9-10 said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.
So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And when I hear Paul talking about, he's talking about testimony. What's your story? What do you have to share about what God is doing in your life? Because guess what? The most powerful testimonies do not come from million-dollar athletes, actors, and actresses who've had everything go right and perfect in their lives. The best evangelists who can testify to the power of God's grace and the width of His love are the people who have watched God guide them through moments of intense suffering, and they can now see the world from the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. They have survived. They are survivors. I'm talking about people who have suffered through chronic illness, cancer, mental illness, addiction, lost a parent at a young age, buried a child, dealt with a messy divorce, foster kids who have gone from home to home. Many different people have faced hardship in different ways. And brothers and sisters, what Paul is teaching us about discipleship is the very thing that you think disqualifies you from sharing the gospel, that your thorn in your flesh might be your greatest asset in sharing the gospel. It might be the one thing that connects you to people and lets them know that your faith is real, that you've been through it and you've come out the other side. Because guess what? Christ has no interest in perfectionists, in people who think they are the holiest of holy. Christ's light shines best through flawed vessels like ourselves. Let me say that again. Christ's light shines best through flawed vessels like ourselves. And I know it's been a while since some of us have held hymnals in our hand, but I want to remind you that your hymnal would be empty. It would be bone dry if it didn't include people who have faced a tremendous amount of suffering and pain in their lives. Our opening hymn, one of my favorites, "To God Be the Glory," I almost always pick it on the spring forward day when we lose an hour of sleep because it has so much energy and passion to it. Even when we can't sing the words together, it has such an upbeat tune. And that opening hymn came from Fanny Mae Crosby. Many of you may know Fanny's story, but she went blind as a little girl, and she did have one of those talented and musical ears. And to this day, she still is considered by many to be the most influential hymn writer in American history. She has quite the legacy. And the hymn that we are going to sing shortly is one of my favorites, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." The hymn writer Charlotte Elliott wrote that. And in her 30s, Charlotte suffered from a serious illness that often left her paralyzed and bedridden. And Elliott actually wrote this hymn when the rest of her family was at a church bazaar for a charity school, and she was bedridden, at home, feeling depressed and useless about the fact that she couldn't help her family serve this charity. So when you hear this hymn in a few minutes, think of your hardships, think of your disabilities, think of your challenges that you've gone through, and remember these words that you're going to hear. Come to Christ just as you are. You ain't got to fix yourself. You ain't got to have the perfect solution. Come to Christ just as you are and watch what God will do through you. Because God can do remarkable things. And I know today we don't get the opportunity to sing, but we do get the opportunity to listen intently to these lyrics. And I hope you really listen to them and think about the pain and the heartache that hymn writers like Charlotte Elliott and Fanny Mae Crosby were experiencing when they wrote powerful words that touched millions of people. And their words lived on long after their lives entered the eternal presence of our Lord and Savior. So let's take those words to heart today. Let us find hope in the fact that God can utilize us just as we are. You don't need to pretend to be something you are not for Christ. There are no Instagram filters that you have to fill out in order to be a disciple of Christ. Jesus loves you as your flawed and most authentic self. 9 months into a pandemic in the sweatpants you've been wearing for 8 months, God loves that version of you, even if you struggle to love that version of you. God loves you authentically. And that is why, with courage in our hearts, we never have to be afraid. We never have to be scared. We never have to be worried about when we can come to Jesus in our lives. Because Christ invites us to come just as we are today. So let us remember those words, those famous words we hear, and remember to spiritually come to Christ just as we are. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for the people gathered here, and help us to remember that everyone in this room has experienced suffering in some form or another. And you, God, will guide us through it. It doesn't matter how difficult it will be, as long as we trust in your presence. So help each one of us be freed from the need to be perfect, the need to be this projected and Facebook and virtual self. Help us to be our true, authentic, and vulnerable self. Because it is vulnerability and not perfection that connects us to others. It reminds us that in our flaws, God is at work. It reminds us that God is so powerful and profound. Because if we were perfect, what would be left for God? Would our imperfections remind us of a powerful and passionate God? So help us to use not only our strengths, but our weaknesses to serve you in all times and all places. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we will reflect on the hymn from Charlotte Elliott. In your grace, I have made you sufficient. In your grace, I have loved you. And we will hear the words, just as I am, without one plea. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. This concludes our worship service for today. We want to thank those of you that have been joining us in person and online, and we hope you have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. At this time, we will now dismiss those people who are in person by family. Castor family, you can go ahead.